Okay, sir.
It is true that any time you have an election amongst one's peers, there is going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser, and the person who loses feels a sense of rejection. And it is either momentary or it lasts for a while, as the case may be. But having observed it twice, I would not change it simply because the... Well, let me put it this way. I was comfortable with it. I never sought the office myself. And I think it does keep the person who's privileged to serve as Chief Justice keeps that person mindful of his or her other colleagues in an effort to lead the court collegially. Everybody has their own style of leadership. Three general areas or three types of leadership that most have an appreciation for is dictatorial, autocratic, or consensus. And the style in which one leads happens to be consistent with one's personal experience, lifestyle, professional experience, and the like. I served under two chief justices. I served under Chief Justice Williams and Chief Justice Dorothy Comstock Riley. I was not present to vote at the last election because I had left the court when Mr. Chief Justice Michael Kavanaugh was elected. But the court goes on and the public is well served by whomever is going to be the Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. The one thing that I did find while being on the court is that my vote was just as strong as the Chief Justice's vote. My vote had as much weight as the Chief Justice's weight. So, in terms of service to the public, the bench and the bar, each justice, whether they happen to be the chief or an associate justice, makes a substantial contribution in the totality and the sum of it all that we are well served. There are other jurisdictions, as you may know, who rotate. Florida, for example, is one. They rotate every 2 years. Currently, Leander Shaw, who happens to be, I think, the first black Supreme Court justice, or maybe the second, on the Florida Supreme Court. And next, following him, will be a female colleague. And so she will be the next Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court. And they rotate every 2 years. In New York, that person is appointed by the governor. And they stay in that position, I think, for about, I think it's 14 years. Other places, like in Ohio, like Mr. Chief Justice Tom Moyer, ran for that elected position. So there are several ways to get there. Whether one is appointed by the governor or by the legislature, as in South Carolina, or you run for the office and you're elected as... Mr. Chief Justice Tom Moyer, they are in office for a long period of time. And where that may have a benefit is there is a conference of chief justices where every chief justice, or in the case of New York where it's called the Court of Appeals, the chief of the highest court of the state, they have an organization where they meet twice a year. And of course, if you're there in office with any longevity, you have an opportunity to take on more responsibility and ultimately become the leader of that very important body for the country, whether it's there where ideas are shared or issues that are confronting our courts, and they bring those issues back to the table in their own home jurisdiction. So I don't see where the public is any less served, or more served by that matter, by having an election or a rotation amongst our colleagues who are on the Michigan Supreme Court.
Does one justice, because of his or her experience, personality, energy, offer a superior capability for administration in that post than another? Or is, if that is true, is it more or less negligible, in effect, given the fact that four votes will do anything?
Well, it is true that four votes will gain the majority for most any position, subject to a review by the United States Supreme Court if somebody is able to get a writ of certiorari granted. But having said that, I think that each justice has something substantial to offer to his or her colleagues. The level of energy that one has or doesn't have on any given moment, on any given issue. The beautiful part about the seven justices who are on the Supreme Court is that each brings something to the discussion, which results, in my view, in a more reasoned approach, decision, and style. Now, it is true that some chief justices may be perceived as being perhaps more warm or gracious than another, more open than closed, more harsh than soft, or vice versa. But that is like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so where one person might have an opinion, you talk to another judge or lawyer, and you will have an entirely different opinion and assessment.
So, I think what I really was trying to test in your opinion was whether or not the rancor that sometimes surrounds the process of choosing the Chief Justice.
But there is really no rancor. You would be surprised. There is, I think, a minimum amount of discussion. Somebody says, I think I'd like to be Chief Justice next time. And they talk to one of their colleagues. If the colleague is of mine, they say, okay, I'll support you. Then they go to the next colleague and say, let me give it some thought. Who else is running? Well, then that person, may be looking for someone else, or may not be sure, or whatever the case may be. But that's the nature of things. That's okay. We don't lose by that.
Okay. I was thinking, among other things, of the fact that Justice Brennan, when I spoke to him in this same series, recalled that he had been aggressively lobbied before he ever took a seat on the court with respect to who was going to be the Chief Justice for his first 2 years.
That,